Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What are you looking at? What are you seeing in life, in this world? What are you thinking about? Show me what you look at. Show me what you admire. Show me who you want to be like. Show me what your dreams are. All of your ego, all your pride, calling my own shots, making your own decisions. You just have to look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. Look to God. Look to El Yon.
The truth is, you'll feel a lot better when you let God take over. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Is God in Control?, and shows you how trusting in God's control leads you to freedom. Stay right there. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young starts in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you find light even in your darkest moments by sending you Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms, an encouraging book by Dr. Young's son, Ben. In this transformational book, Pastor Ben Young offers proven strategies from his own experience to help you have peace in the midst of dark days. We'll send you Survive the Day as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We, of course, want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Is God in Control? Part 2.
And now we look in chapter 4 of Daniel, is, by the way, in my opinion, one of the most staggering chapters in all the Bible. Chapter 4 of Daniel. You know why? It was written by Nebuchadnezzar. Every word of it. That'll shock you. Here's a godless, pagan, megalomaniac, despot, vicious, jealous, brilliant, powerful, a murderer, a warrior. He's written a whole chapter in the Bible. Can you believe it? But it's a great chapter. It's a fabulous chapter. It is Nebuchadnezzar's spiritual autobiography. He tells us about the, you would say, chess match over big stakes he had with God, because Nebuchadnezzar says, I am sovereign of everything I see and everything I touch. I'm in charge. I am sovereign. And El Yon says, No. O king, I am God and I am in control of everything. And we see the end of the story in chapter 4. You can outline chapter 4 easily. It's probably already done in your Bibles. You got the section beginning with verse 41 of chapter 4 of Daniel. And it goes, this is the vision of the great tree. It goes verse 41 all the way through verse 18, it's a vision. It's the vision of the dream. It's a vision of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Look at verse 19 all the way through down to verse 27. It says Daniel's interpretation of the dream. Then you got verse 28 all the way down through verse 33. It says the realization, the fulfillment of the dream. And then you got verse 34 to the end of this chapter, and you have the restoration of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the miraculous part. You got the outline. All right, you got a dream by a pagan. You got Daniel, God's man, interpreting the dream. Then you have the dream, which was a prophecy. The dream is fulfilled. Then you see the results of the dream, which is the restoration of someone who we would guess would be the writer of this old Nebuchadnezzar. Let's look at it briefly, and then I'll seek to apply it right where you and I live. Look at it in verse 41. This is the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace, saw a dream, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies as I lay on my bed and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. Let me tell you what the dream was. By the way, you say, what is all this about God speaking to somebody in a dream? Ladies and gentlemen, God uses whatever he has to use when he wants to say something to you and me. Don't miss it. He'll use a friend. He'll use a mate. He'll use a child. He'll use health. He'll use your vocation. He'll use anything he can use, even a dream, to speak to you and speak to me. Dreams were in fashion then. That's how they interpreted their pagan culture. And therefore, this dream was very significant to Nebuchadnezzar. And God used a dream. He'll use what he has to use when he wants to get through to you and me when we become so far removed from him. Now, here's what the dream was. He dreamed there was a big tree, and the tree grew and grew and grew until it went to the top of the clouds, until it covered the whole earth. This was a fabulous tree. It had all kind of fruit on it. And birds would eat of the fruit. They would nest and build their nests there, and they would be honored to sit in the tree, and other animals would be under the tree, and it would shade them, and they would eat of the fruit. It was a wonderful tree of bounty and blessing and plenty for all who were connected to it. High tree, magnificent tree. And then it says, an angel came. This is a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. A heavenly watcher came down and cut down that tree. Vroom. And the tree was down. The branches, the leaves were swept away, and the birds flew away, and the animals couldn't rest and eat under the tree. And all that was left was a stump. And in that stump, they tied around it a brass band, and they tied around it an iron band to hold that stump together where it wouldn't split, because any hope for life coming back would be through that old stump. In the dream, don't touch the stump. Don't touch the stump. And then in the dream, it changes. Interesting. In verse 15, it's talking about it, the tree. And then it gets into verse 15, it talks about he. It changes from an inanimate thing in the sense of a vegetable, a tree, and it moves to a person. And it says, and this person will be exiled and will have the mind of an animal and will live for 7 years as an animal. That's the dream. And this dream kept coming to Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, I've got to get interpretation. He tried all the soothsayers, the pagans of that day. Finally went to Daniel, because Daniel had already set him straight on a couple of occasions. We don't have time to look at that. And so he goes to Daniel, and Daniel sees what the dream means. And it's wonderful, a little verse there, I'll not read it to you. Daniel steps back. He doesn't say anything for a while, out of respect for the king, because the king, though he was pagan and despotic and mean and vicious, somehow he'd been kind to Daniel. And Daniel stepped back. He didn't say anything. And Nebuchadnezzar said, tell me what it means. Don't worry about it. Just tell me what it means. And so Daniel interprets the dream. And this is a little bit of the interpretation, and we'll see how it plays out in just one moment. Look at verse number 24, Daniel, this is the interpretation, O king. This is a decree of the Most High. There's our word, El Elyon, he is sovereign. This is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that you be driven away from mankind, your dwelling place be with the beast of the field, you'll be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven, seven periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High, El Elyon, the sovereign God, is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And he goes on, interprets the stump as to what that means, a chance of rehabilitation. And he encourages Nebuchadnezzar to repent then of his pride and his ego and worship El Elyon. Nebuchadnezzar waits and does nothing, and 12 months go by. Man, he's still in power. He still built this stuff. Look what happens. This is how the vision is fulfilled. Look at verse 28. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king reflected and said, listen to the egotist. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? And let me tell you something. It was some kind of city. Some kind of city. Babylon had a wall around it, 6 miles in circumference. That wall was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. That wall was over a football field in height, 89 feet wide, went all the way around the city, one of the wonders of the ancient world, one of only seven. Also in that city was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And they were fabulous. They were 600 feet long, 500 feet high. They had terraced of plants and flowers and vegetation and beauty and trees, unparalleled probably in history even to this day. In the middle of the city, the Euphrates River ran. And they even had in this beautiful deep body of water, it's a fabulous body of water, they had dikes, and they would open and close at flood time so it wouldn't affect the rest of the city. And they would take the water that overflowed from the Euphrates and they would ride it into the Tigris, which was right there. And they had in the city marble, stone, beautiful works of art. They had statues all over the city. It was a fabulous thing. And it's all done by Nebuchadnezzar. And he is standing there looking over 50 different fabulous pagan temples. He was saying, whoo, look what I have done with my own hands. I didn't read it. The Bible says, bang, enough is enough. And God cuts him down. He immediately has the mind of an animal. By the way, this is a psychiatric diagnosis that happens today. Suddenly people resort back to having the mind of an animal. You want to read about what happens to that in miniature, read Romans chapter 1. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. By the way, the humanistic world said we're all high-class animals anyway. They don't recognize we're humans made in the image of God, not the secular world. He had the mind of an animal. You can imagine he began to tear his clothes and make animal noises. And he ran out of the palace and began to strip himself down. And finally he was naked. He was the king, the most powerful monarch in the world. No one could compete with him. No one could stand up to him. Here he was now living out in the field for 7 years as an animal. And the Bible describes what he looks like. He said his hair grew and grew until it was like the feathers of an eagle. And he said his fingernails grew long. They were like the claws of a bird. I thought about Howard Hughes. Remember? He came worth over $2 billion. Here's a man who had everything and had nothing. Here's a man, Nebuchadnezzar, who had everything and had nothing. He lived like an animal, and he was on his knees and his hands. I'm sure they were calloused. He was naked. He ate of the grass. He kept his head down. He was out of his mind. And this went on for 7 years. It said he awakened every morning, not in the comfort of a royal bed, but the dew of heaven. He wet all over from the dew. Living with the animals, sounds like animals, out of his mind. 7 years until a wonderful thing happens. This is the miracle of God's grace. Look at verse 34. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. Remember, he's telling of this. And my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, El Elyon, there's our word, and praised and honored him who lives forever. What happened? 7 years down, and then he just looks up. He looks up to heaven. That's all you have to do. That's all I have to do. All of your ego, all your pride, calling my own shots, making your own decisions. You just have to look up to heaven. Show me what you look at. Show me what you admire. Show me who you want to be like. Show me what your dreams are. All you have to do is look up to heaven. And immediately what happened? His mind was cleared up. That'll happen to you and me today. Our minds, what do you see? What are you looking at? What are you seeing in life, in this world? What are you thinking about? Look up to heaven. Look to God. Look to El Elyon, he who is sovereign, and he'll clear your mind up. And then what happened? He worshiped. He said he blessed God. He praised God. He praised El Elyon, he who is the God who controls everything. You see, he was broken, but he was healed, and he was made whole. This is a miracle of God's grace, isn't it? And that miracle still operates in your life and in mine. Where are words to describe him who is Elohim, the God of creation? Him who is El Elyon, who is the God who controls everything, the God who is sovereign. Where do you find those words? A great preacher of the last generation named Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge. And in talking about the name of God, in talking about this, he has a wonderful recitation that just elevates and honors the Lord. And this is his words. He said, he is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel. He is the King of righteousness. He is the King of the ages. He is the King of heaven. He is the King of glory. Oh, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's my King. And I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means or measure can provide his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into vision the coastline of his shoreless supplies. Oh, that's my King. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Do you know him? That's my King. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizons of the world. He's God's Son. He is the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands on the title of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one qualified to be called all-sufficient Savior. And I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tired. He sympathizes and he saves and he strengthens and he sustains and he guards and he guides and he heals the sick and he cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards those who are diligent. He beautifies the meager. I wonder, do you know him? Well, this is my King. He is the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Ah, do you know him well? His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is timeless. His mercy is everlasting. And his love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Oh, I wish I could describe him to you. He is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is invisible. He is irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. Oh, the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. That's my king. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever and forever. And when you run out of forever, there's more. Good God Almighty. He is Elohim. He is creator. He is El Elyon. He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. That's our King. That's the Lord God Almighty. He is Elohim. He is creator. He is El Elyon. He is sovereign. That's our King.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Now, it's great to have Dr. Young right here in the studio to answer a couple of questions today. Dr. Young, Nebuchadnezzar had all his power stripped away because he refused to acknowledge who was really in control. How can listeners use whatever power and influence they have to glorify God instead?
It's a daily walk, fresh every morning. I wake up in the morning, I hit my knees, my wife and I. We hit our knees, we get up together, and we pray. And we begin by saying, the problem that we have is self, so we have a little acrostic. Self, S, surrender, E, empty, L, love, S-E-L-F, and the last one is to fill me with your spirit. We begin our day like that, and we end our day like that with a little prayer that gets us in tune with who we are and how he can use us. Guess what? Your life, though you will not ever know it, will be filled with the touch and the glory of God.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. We'd love to encourage you with a powerful book by Dr. Young's son, Pastor Ben Young. It's called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. And he wrote it from his own experience of hardship to give you proven biblical strategies to help you surrender to God's care so that you can find peace and light even on your darkest days. You'll discover that once you stop wondering why me and start practicing humility and grace and surrender, you'll be able to rise above any storm life throws your way. So call now to request Survive the Day as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young shares a message on the comfort God offers you. You won't want to miss it. That's tomorrow on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350-350-9255.